Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be before you, thankful for the Word of God, and it is my prayer, as always, that what I do here rightly divides the Word of God, and as I've mentioned many times before, if you hear anything that you have a question about, as it was mentioned before the service, and I appreciate that sentiment, you would be my friend if you come and show me where that error would be. As was mentioned in the Bible study, I believe that nobody really likes to be told that they're wrong. It's not something that we as human beings take comfortably. But if we remember through our lives, somebody has told us of wrong that we've done, and if we've corrected that, we know that we've been in a better condition because of that. As we look at the screen today, I have chosen this as I was looking for artwork to put on this first slide for this lesson. I found this photo and found it to be somewhat worth a chuckle, but also it kind of illustrates a role reversal there. And more than ever today, in today's world, we see that man desires to reverse every role that God has put into place. As we look around the world today, I know I have. Have you watched the news? Have you looked at what is going on around us in the world and said, that just seems backwards. That just doesn't seem correct. One need look no further than the evening news to see this reversal of roles. It's been a phenomenon that's been happening in our society for many years. And under attack is the church. Under attack is the truth, the family, as God put it in place, and marriage, as God had put it in place there from the beginning. And we could go on and on. We could go on and on with these role reversals that we see in the world. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 4 here for a few moments. Daniel chapter 4, starting at verse 22. Daniel chapter 4, verse 22. And I use the New King James Version for the scripture reading here. It is you, O King, at verse 22. It is you, O King, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord and King. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Now, as we read this, we see a warning. There is a warning that needs to be heeded here. I have a cousin that lives down the road in Kentucky. We are in Kentucky. He lives down the road in Tennessee. And one of the things that I caught on to as he was raising his children, he would tell them, "You've been told." Now, he would warn them about something that they were doing wrong, and he'd say, "You've been told," and that was the end of that. And that stuck with me because we've been told. We have the scriptures in front of us, and we've been told. And the king here, in this instance, has been told. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar had troubling dreams. He had troubling dreams and had asked for that interpretation. Daniel interpreted them in verses 22 and 24 and following, and they were not in the king's favor. These were not things that the king would want to hear, obviously. He was being told there was some change that needed to be made. And, of course, we know that that's not comfortable. The king was warned to turn towards God, a warning that as we look through the scriptures, we should also take heed to every day of our lives. King Nebuchadnezzar was eventually humbled, as we will come to find out looking into this lesson. If you look at Daniel chapter 4, verses 28 through 34, Daniel chapter 4, verses 28 through 34, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you, and they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of the heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. So as we look at this, as we look at the scripture that we just read, in verse 30, going back there a few verses, we read, I built by my mighty power to His honor. Sounds a little bit like a pride problem. Now, many times in this world today, we're guilty of that. I know I've been there, where we put ourselves ahead of where we should be. We put the glory in men and not in God. We wouldn't have anything were it not for God. Now, man tries to reverse the roles, as we know. But God chastens. God will prevail whether we yield or not. God is going to prevail. Sometimes we need to be reminded of who we are. Sometimes we need to be reminded of who Christ is. I heard it said one time, another gospel preacher, I caught this in watching him interact with his children. He would tell his sons before they left the house, remember who you are. And that's another good thing for us to tell ourselves as we walk out the door, remember who you are. Sometimes we need to be reminded. It would be better if we would heed the warnings of Scripture and heed them early. Humankind likes to learn firsthand, though, and we don't like to heed examples. We don't like to look at history. If we look around the world today, we see some attempts at erasing history. We see some attempts at erasing those things that, yes, they're painful in our history. But at some point, we need to know those things, that we not go back to them and take them as a warning to us. Now, this is often to our detriment, that we don't take heed from warnings given to us, especially in the Scripture. Thinking back to when I was 16 years old, and I went through driver's ed, and for a little bit about me, for the previous 20 years, I've taught driver training, and one of the reasons perhaps I did that was because when I was 16, I failed to heed the warnings that I'd heard in driver training. And I almost did not crash, but I know how close to death I came that night, traveling at over 130 miles an hour and losing control of the vehicle. And how it did not flip over and roll off into the woods on the road that I was on, I'll never know. But I know just how fortunate I was to have made it out of that. And I walked away from that, and I had learned from that firsthand experience. But I should have learned earlier. I should have learned when My instructor said, don't do this. Don't drive too fast. Obey the speed limit. Do all of these things like I'm teaching you. The Word of God teaches us many things as we look into the Scriptures. You can open it every day and find something that is going to chasten you, something that is going to help you in your daily lives. And we need to take heed to those words. So let's look at some other examples of role reversal. You know, we have parent-child role reversal that comes into play in our lives. If you have a child, you've seen this role reversal to be attempted. You know, we have a self-willed child. Sometimes some disobedience gets sprinkled in there, and you have a situation. You have a child trying to reverse the roles on the parent and be in charge. And that needs to be, all children will do that. They'll test the waters from time to time. But as we know, and anybody with children will tell you, that needs to be stopped. God and man, another role reversal. We've been talking about that for a few moments here. You know, we are self-willed people many times, human beings, and sometimes we become disobedient, and we attempt to flip that role as well. Now, Christ never did that, though. Christ was always mindful of His Father's will. He didn't do the things that He perhaps could have wanted to do in His life. His will was with the Father's will. He wanted to do those things and be, as it was mentioned earlier today, about His Father's business. That was what His purpose was. If we look at the parent and child role reversal for a moment, now sometimes this reversal is necessary. Unfortunately, at times, as life goes on, with elderly parents, the roles will be reversed. But this isn't what I'm talking about. This is not the focus of our lesson today. You know, think of that self-willed child we mentioned a moment ago who attempts to rule over a parent. Now, we have free will. We have intellect. And many times when we add those two together, we'll find that we have self-will. And children often attempt to do those things unless we are corrected, unless they are corrected. Proverbs 23 at verse 13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, those are strong words, especially in today's world. Those are very strong words for a lot of society today. But keep in mind, the correction is done in love, and love does not abuse. I'm not saying to beat your child within an inch of their life. We know that that happens, and that's a horrible thing, that people take that too far. But correction should not be withheld from a child. As we look, at the world today, we can see this role reversal happening. Pop culture has rendered parental authority meaningless in many people's eyes. Turn on the television. There's one particular network. No, we don't have cable anymore. We did away with that a few years ago. And it took me a long time to get to that point. I wrestled with that, but I'm glad that we finally did that. And one of the networks that my children used to watch, I noticed something. And if you look at the world, you'll see it too. I noticed that all of the situation comedies or the shows that this particular network would show, there's a lot of parent and child, you know, it was a children's network. And the children were always portrayed as the wisest ones in the house. The parents were portrayed as blithering fools that didn't know any better. And that may sound like a funny premise for a comedic show, but it instills something in the mind of both the parent and the child. It's just something for us to think about. Proverbs 29 at verse 15 reminds us, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I'm remembering back again a student of mine that I had in driver training. I picked him up one Saturday morning and took him to drive for his lesson for 2 hours. And in the course of that 2 hours, we passed by a bar, a drinking establishment. He pointed to that parking lot and said, "There's my mother's car. She slept there last night." And that just kind of upsets you when you think about that. And you could see the fruits of that child's home life in him. He was going down a path that was not going to be favorable for him in the future. And he was a child left to himself. And many things went wrong, as you might imagine, in that situation. Any of us that have ever been around children has witnessed this self-will. Of course, they want what they want. All of us have been there, but we need to remember that that's not what is best for them. It's not what's best for us in our spiritual lives. We need to not be left to our own devices. Left to our own devices, look around at all the denominations that have popped up and look at all of the additions that they have added to in the name of the Lord. But he didn't ask for it. I often tell my children, you don't have to like it, you just have to do it. That's the beginning. You just have to do those things. Mankind's misuse of free will has been our downfall from almost the beginning. Our proper use of free will, though, leads us to saving grace, which leads us to the next point, talking more about God and man and that role reversal. You know, there's a song that I remember hearing years ago, and some of the words to that song is, "God is God and I am man." It goes on and says, "God is God and I am not." Now, that's a good thought. We need to remember that as we walk through our daily lives, that God is God. That's not your place. That's not my place to make these rules. Genesis 3, verses 4 through 6. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, we need to remember who we are. Again, we're a blood-bought Christian if we have obeyed the gospel of Christ. We'll get to how you can do that if you haven't in a little bit. But hindsight is 20/20. You know, why would Adam and Eve have forsaken the Lord God? Why would Eve have even gone down that path? They were walking with God. They had everything that they needed. Why would they think of going off in that other direction? Maybe you've had that thought. But again, hindsight is 20/20. We like to tell ourselves that we would have known better. But don't be so quick to think so. Now, when we become selfish because we get the things that we need, and especially in our society today, society nurtures that. Gives you an inflated view of yourself. From the time we're young, we're told you can do anything you want, you can have anything you want, you just go out and get it. And that, to some degree, is true. We live in a great nation that allows for a lot of great things, but we can't carry that too far. When you look at this account that we just read a moment ago from Genesis, we see that Eve desired to be like God. The serpent said, "And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And that's a tempting thought. And it's one that we should not find ourselves guilty of giving in to that kind of a thought. You know, I heard a preacher say one time that you don't want to whittle at God's end of the stick. You want to stay down on your end of the stick. And that's another thought that, again, we want to keep thoughts like this in our mind to keep us on the right path, to keep our nose in the Scriptures so that we might have the mind of God and we won't be tricked like this. Because we know that the world is tempting in many ways. So let's look at some more. we must view God and therefore Christ with the correct perspective. Now, Matthew 28:18 tells us that Christ has all authority. So how much does that leave you and I? It doesn't leave us very much. It doesn't leave us any. So as we look at the world, we need to remember that Christ has all authority. And as we look at how His church is structured and how He desired that His church be structured and how it was to be operated, we need to remember that we don't have any authority in that department. We're going to look at David and Solomon here for just a moment. Psalm 18, verses 30 through 31. We're going to look in just a moment. First, let's go to Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And then we'll go to Psalm 18, 30 through 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? And then look at Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. Looking at Christ and the church and the role reversal that takes place many times. In Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18, we have Peter's confession. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Again, we have that confession, and we have Christ's authority to establish. And if you look at Acts 1, at verse 8, we have apostolic authority given by Christ. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember Christ's doctrine. We need to remember that Christ has all authority. And if you look at Acts 2, verse 42, when you look at those that were added to the church, they were added by the Lord. They were added, the Lord does the adding, not men. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. We need to be careful of this role reversal that takes place many times when men put their thinking to the church. Jude, verse 3. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Something important there, once for all delivered to the saints. So we don't have more revelations coming down the pike. Do we contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered? Is that something that we see ourselves doing in our daily lives? Now, in Jude 1, to those who are called, sanctified. Now, it's a common apostolic greeting. But it is speaking to those who are called and sanctified, those that have been obedient. Romans 1 at verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. 1 Corinthians 1 at verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Are we earnest for the faith? Do we find ourselves being earnest to the faith, and do we reverse the role on God? You know, if we look at the word earnest, it's an adjective, and the definition of earnest is characterized by or proceeding from an intense and serious state of mind, grave or important. Now, one thing is for sure, all of the apostasy that we see around us began with those that ignored the exhortation in Jude at verse 3. When we look around us at the world, there's a lack of importance put on the Word of God. And we don't have, many times the world does not have an intense and serious state of mind when it comes to the Scriptures. Proverbs 15 at verse 33 tells us the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. It is our job as we live on this earth to be obedient to the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. We have to humble ourselves. We may think that we've done everything right. We may think that we know better as we go down through our lives. We've been told many times by many people that just be a good person. Just be a good person, do good things, and God's going to see that and He'll reward you for it. But we can't find that in Scripture alone. We need to hear the Word of God. We know by Romans 10 at verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that that is how the mind of God gets into our mind. You know, there was a sermon that I almost preached. Brought a couple with me and thought, think about which one I want to preach. And one of them that I was thinking of, I was going to use an illustration in it, which applies here. That you think of a pop can. You think of a soda can, as it may be. Up in Ohio, we say pop. But you think of the soda can and how when you buy it at the store, it's full of pressure. And the drink that you desire is inside there, and it's under pressure, and it's protected from the outside elements, and keeps everything out. But the minute you break the seal, the minute you let the pressure out, you let other things in, then you have the opportunity for contamination to take place. And it's what we need to do as we go through our lives. We need to make sure that there's some Bible pressure in our minds, in our heart. We need to make sure that the Scriptures are in there, and it's pushing out of us that people can't help but notice, and then also that it doesn't let those other things in, doesn't let the world in. So hearing the Word of God is a powerful thing. It helps us to know those things that we need to do. And of course, we need to believe that He is who He says He is. We need to repent and turn away and have a new purpose in our lives as we go down through our life. We need to confess Him before men, be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, oftentimes people will say, well, I've been baptized, they sprinkled my head where I grew up in church. If you look into the Scriptures, you'll understand that that's not baptism. And the baptism needs to take place for the remission of sins. And then the hardest part, if you've done these things, that's wonderful. The hardest part, though, is to remain faithful, because we're still in the world and we still walk amongst all of these things that we see every day in our lives. Revelation 2:10 reminds us that if we're faithful until death, we'll receive that crown of life. If we do not remain faithful, then all will be lost. So, have you done these things? Have you found yourself to be faithful, remaining faithful since you've done those things? Or have you reversed the roles on God and said, I know better. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to worship you the way I want to worship you. And you should be able to see that that's better. Is that what we've done to God? If you haven't done these things, if you found yourself to have reversed those roles, understand that you will be lost. And those, again, are hard words. Words that you might not hear in a lot of places. But the Word of God tells us that we'll be lost if we don't do these things. So ask yourself these questions. Take a look inward and see if anything needs to be adjusted, changed, if obedience needs to be rendered to the gospel before it is everlastingly too late. If any of this applies to you, if you need the prayers of the saints, please come forward as we stand and sing.